So that brings us to the subtitle for tonight. We learned what envy is, but we want to learn how to overcome envy. So the subtitle for tonight's message is Overcoming Envy. Overcoming Envy. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So how do we overcome envy? Well, the first thing I want to do is to encourage us to know that we can overcome it. We can overcome envy in our life. Envy does not have to control or dictate our lives. We don't have to struggle with ill will towards others. We don't have to be grieved when somebody else does well. We as Christians can be free of envy and therefore free to love. Because when you're free from envy, you are free to love. So what's the answer to overcoming envy? Well, we learned it a little bit last week. The answer to overcoming envy is this: I must deal with the lust of my flesh. See, because we learn, it's not you, it's me. If we're going to overcome envy, we have to deal with the lust of our flesh. Let's look at James chapter 4. We're going to read just verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?" Look at what James is asking the church. What he's saying is, what is the source of your strife, discord, and feuding? He's saying, what is the source of all this fighting among you? He's saying, doesn't this fighting come from the fleshly desires that disquiet your soul? That's what he's saying. The fighting that is among you, it comes from fleshly desires that disquiet your soul. Those inward desires that agitate us because they fight against what we know is right. See, we war outwardly because of the war that is taking place inwardly. We see someone with something we want, and our inner desires are stirred up, unsettling us, making us angry, agitated. Those inner desires cause us to worry about losing our advantage. Before you know it, resentment creeps in. Ill will begins to form. So we fight on the outside because of what's happening on the inside. Remember what we learned last week, that envy exposes the desires of our heart. It shows us what's in our heart. In other words, we envy people because they have what we want. So we act out. We go to war with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But church, we don't just stop there. We don't just go to war with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We recruit soldiers. Because you don't go to war by yourself. You need some people on your side. You need some foot soldiers on your side. So when we go to war with others, we recruit soldiers. We get other people on our side. And that's why in the body of Christ, you have contention, strife, and division. It's us against you. This group against that group. These two or three here against these two or three over there. Because there's contention, there's strife, and it's a result of envy. Church, we all have fleshly desires that are in us, that war against the righteous standard that we seek to maintain. We all have fleshly desires that are in us that war against the righteous standard that we seek to maintain. See, our spirit man, we want to do right, but our flesh does not want to do right. What did Paul say? He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Ain't nothing good in this flesh. And see, acknowledging that for us does not make us bad Christians. It makes us honest. And when we are honest with ourselves, when we accept the fact that as long as we are in this flesh, we're going to have lusts in the flesh that war against what our spirit man wants to do. As long as we can acknowledge that, we can get somewhere. We can get somewhere. We can begin to battle against these evil desires that are in us. And we can grow stronger spiritually. Church, it's important that we understand this. Because when we are not willing to acknowledge that there is a battle, when we act like we got it all going on, that we are immune to evil desires. I just don't think that way. I don't feel that way. I don't have that problem. When we think that we are immune to evil desires, we can't grow spiritually. Spiritual pride keeps us from growing. See, this is what happens for too many Christians. We become stagnant, and we are not as spiritually mature as we should be because we don't own up to the lusts that are in us. We label the lust that is in us. We label it something else. Usually we label it something that's good and holy. So we label the lust that's in us. We don't deal with it, and we keep on warring. Keep on fighting. Keep on causing division, making all of these excuses for our flesh. We all have evil desires lurking in our flesh. So how do we overcome envy? We must deal with the lust of the flesh. We must cleanse our heart of the ungodly lust that cause us to war with each other. We must cleanse our heart of the ungodly lusts that cause us to war with each other. I can't focus on the person. I have to focus on me. I can't focus on the situation. I have to focus on me. I have to say, God, show me me. And whatever he says, I have to accept it as the truth. Then I have to apply his word. We know how to cleanse our heart. I must cleanse my heart. And then I have to keep cleansing my heart. And I have to guard my heart so that I can be at ease with other people. Church, this is an area of continuous work, especially as it relates to envy. We must always be at work, working on our heart to cleanse our heart of lust and desires that cause us to be envious of others. Because the adversary is always urging us, always urging us to compare ourselves to others, always urging us and causing us to try to think that we are less than other people, always trying to convince us that something in us is lacking or incomplete. The adversary is always on us, always prodding us and pushing us, trying to get us to resent what other people have. So if I'm going to overcome envy, I must deal with the lusts in my flesh. Now, there are three types of lusts that we're going to learn we must cleanse our heart of on tonight. Now, just so we can know and understand, I'm not saying that these are all the lusts that we must deal with. And perhaps you might get through this list and say, none of these apply to me. Well, there might be some others that apply to you. But we're going to focus on three in particular because these are the three lusts that plague the body of Christ. So I might have others, you might have others, but we must deal with these because these do damage in the body. So to overcome envy, I must cleanse my heart of the lust for, point number one, power. To overcome envy, I must cleanse my heart of the lust for power. Power. It's a wonderful word. Power is the ability to be in control. The ability to be in charge. The ability to dominate others. That's what power is. Church, there is something in us that likes power. There's something in us that likes to be in charge. There's just something in us that likes to exert dominance over others. Well, Pastor, that's not me. I don't need to be in charge of nothing or nobody. I just mind my own business. I just do what I'm told. I don't have to be the head of nothing. Yeah, but let somebody tell you to do something you don't want to do. And you want to be in control. We like to be in control. The flesh does not want to submit. The flesh does not want to obey. The flesh does not want anybody to tell it what to do. Have you ever noticed that you might be doing something and someone comes along and tells you to do it, and then all of a sudden you don't want to do it anymore simply because they told you to do it, but you were already doing it to begin with? Because the flesh says, I don't like it when people tell me what to do. I want to be in control. It doesn't want to yield. Flesh doesn't want to humble itself. The flesh does not want to agree with others. Our flesh wants to be contentious, disagreeable. We like to be in control. And we like to exert control over others. We want to have our way. There's not a person in here who can honestly say, no, I don't want things my way. We like to exert control over others. And the sooner we accept that, the better we can be. See, that desire in us has been in us since we were little children. Because that's what little children do. That's what little bitty children do. I mean, little bitty children. You know what children are doing when they disobey? They're trying to be in control. Our children are trying to dominate us. You watch a little child come over here. I said, come over here. Put that down. Don't touch that. They're trying to exert control. They want to be in control from the time they come out the chute. That's what tantrums are all about. I'm going to gain control of this situation. That's why we shouldn't coddle children when they have tantrums. This is a little aside, a little parenting 101. You know, when children are throwing, oh, poor baby, you poor, oh, little... No, they are trying to gain control of the situation. Yes. So they throw a tantrum. I'm going to get my way. You're going to do what I want. And I'm going to pitch a fit. And if a child feels like a parent is embarrassed by them throwing a tantrum, oh, they're going to fall all out. So you can say, oh, little Johnny, please stop, 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 stop. Here, take what you want. Trying to get control. That's what a tantrum is all about. But the problem is we never stop throwing tantrums. We just got more dignified with our tantrums. You know, we don't roll out on the floor. But we throw some tantrums. So when another person is in a position